Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey, VetFran, and the Online Franchise Expo, where I hope you'll join me later this week. For 30 years, MFV has brought together top executives and entrepreneurs to live events, creating the center of the franchise industry, and I think maybe even the center of the franchise universe. Now they're rolling out the Online Franchise Expo for 2 weeks, October 15th, through the 30th. Prospective franchisees will be able to search for matches across hundreds of leading and emerging franchise brands. If you would like to set up your brand as a virtual exhibitor, go to onlinefranchiseexpo.com. It is Marketing Monday, and today our guest is Fernando Mesa. Fernando, how are you?
I am well, Jack. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, we're glad to have you here. You are the CEO of 1UpWeb, and I want to get into a whole bunch of geekery today about franchise marketing, especially around Google. But before we get there, give us a little bit of your background. What's your story?
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I'll try to keep it condensed, but just to give you a brief overview, I am originally from Los Angeles. Born and raised in Los Angeles, I started my career as a fellow of the Emma L. Bone Foundation, which is a really amazing fellowship program based out of DC. I came recruiting to our high school, and they placed, their whole mission was around promoting diversity in media. And that meant beyond just in front of the camera. They realized that the real nexus of power happened in conference rooms and meeting rooms, which were largely absent of diverse voices. So this program was something that I was able to get recruited into, and I was placed at the ABC television network, specifically in marketing. So working on shows like Lost, Desperate Housewives, when it was far back enough, Jack, that NYPD Blue was still on the air. So there you go. So I started working there in the creative services marketing department. It was really amazing. 5 years. It was a 5-year internship. And then when I graduated from college, I started my career outside of that fellowship program, working for a creative agency in Los Angeles. There was a commercial house, and of course, like most things there, it doesn't matter what your background is, what experience you had. That first job is, can you please go get me coffee? And, I started off as a receptionist for the owner of the company. So that was a fun year, but then quickly got, promoted into different roles within the company and in marketing, specifically like production, and producing was something that always called me. When I left there, I was director of production, and I was hired back to ABC to oversee the transition of tape to HD tapeless environment. So, I hate to keep dating myself here, but back when there was still 3/4-inch tape, D2s, and just all these weird things. But anyway,
we could get really geeky and talking about things like 3/4-inch pneumatic tape. Ooh,
there you go. You remember? God, look at you. You passed the test.
Yeah, I did some editing in college on. We had like one of the only ones in Illinois, a 1-inch videotape machine. 1 inch, like that was. Ooh boy, that was. And now people would look at that and be like, how can we get rid of this thing? Get it out of here.
Well, and just to clarify things for the audience, I'm only 39 years old. I just got started really young. So I am not as old as Jack.
Oh, come on.
But, but that experience that I had was great, man. I as most things in Hollywood and in marketing, you end up kind of just laddering up to next opportunity. And I was provided with a really amazing opportunity to relocate to New York City to work in-house at a creative agency known as Droga 5. And in my time there, I was basically just freelancing within the agency as a production person. And so that was a lot of fun. And I did that for about a year before I ended up going in-house to an agency that was doing a lot of experiential marketing in the liquor side of things. So working with clients under the Diageo portfolio, so Johnny Walker, Don Julio, and Guinness were our brands. So that was fun. You know, it's going from the West Coast, being on TV, then having a stint doing some radio, and then film stuff, and then going to New York. And you know, anyone that's interested and geeked out about marketing, it's, you know, when you get that call to move to New York, you just say yes and figure it out after. Yeah. So
you went LA to New York and then to Michigan. Tell me about that.
That is a different kind of podcast, but I will give you the one approved for these audiences. So honestly, if I'm being honest, it was, you know, New York, advertising in New York, as you can imagine, it's certainly at a certain speed, and it's at a certain level. And you know, I came to a point in my life where I realized that there were still things in my career that I had not been exposed to, and I didn't want to necessarily just get pigeonholed into doing a particular type of brand marketing. And I wanted to get more heavily invested in digital, because I certainly where I saw these transitions happening. And that for me was in 2012. I was presented with an opportunity to work for 1UpWeb in this new evolution that they were going through. They were a traditional SEO, a traditional paid search agency, and that's it. But they were recognizing that the industry was evolving, and they needed to fall in line with that evolution. And I was, you know, hire number one as a part of that evolution to kind of help. Wow. Shepherd the evolution along with the CEO and a creative director and a couple of other directors there. So I worked very closely with the CEO, shared an office with her, and you know, it was a lot of like, all right, well, how did you guys do this? How did you do this? And what was the goal? And bringing a lot of things like process to the agency in the form of just simple things like agency briefs, creative briefs, doing things like, you know, market intelligence analysts. I was always so impressed with the fact that SEOs could give us so much information. You know, this was me being a brand marketing guy, right? And I was just always so like dumbfounded that somebody could tell me exactly what people were searching for, how many times a day in reference to our ecosystem as a brand. And I figured that there had to be a way to leverage that insight to inform brand and brand development. And at the time, there was just no thinking in that way. So there was a lot of inertia that was preventing me from developing these processes. But it just took a matter of time before we started to evolve and figure out ways to use all that data to inform things that were known as traditional marketing channels. So that was really exciting.
And especially coming out of television and radio, there is no way to know what the audience is exactly looking for or what the audience exactly wants until ratings come out, and then it's far too late to do anything.
Right.
So the show's over.
Right.
So I, you know, it's funny that, you know, we were joking before about the move from LA to New York to Michigan, but I think the real story here, and it's so true with so many people in digital marketing, is it's really the story of moving from traditional media to digital media. I think you're a little bit ahead of the curve in that I see the next generation doing that now. You don't have to go to New York City to be a successful marketing person. You don't have to go to Southern California. In fact, I recommend going, I recommend against going to Southern California. Right? Like,
Hey, my family's still there, man. Los Angeles, go Lakers, right? Like, and I still have a 323 number, but I hear what you're saying. If you want to make money and not pay taxes, don't live there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And congratulations to the Lakers for their win this weekend. But yeah, if you want to be a mover and progressively move up a ladder these days with a marketing right. career, go to Michigan, go to Tennessee, go to Texas, right? Go to Atlanta. That's right. that's really where we're seeing the movement right now. So tell us about 1UP Web. And also, you started there as an account executive, and now you're the CEO. How does that happen?
Yeah, you know, that was that's an interesting story. And you know, definitely the, you know, the evolution of 1UP Web is very connected to my story as well, as you could probably imagine. And you know, and I started off in traditionally in at 1UP Web, and it's so weird to say traditionally, but I was a marketing research guy, right? And so I was able to figure out how to leverage my experience in market research and strategy to facilitate new ways of working for the business development for phases at 1UP Web, and then also for existing client. And so in my process of doing that, I was promoted to account exec, and then after a couple of new directions that our founder took us in, you know, I think that you just come to a point in your life where you realize that it's, you know, the game is changing, and it's time to pass the baton to new leadership so that you can go off into the golden Floridian sunset, right, and go fishing, and that's exactly what she did. And she recognized that I was someone that she could pass that torch to. And I acquired the agency in October of 2014, and was able to, you know, once I made a reference to inertia, right, and culture as far as trying new things, and well, all that inertia was removed, you know, and we were able to figure out, basically just throw out the playbook. This is how we used to do things. Now, how do we want to do things? And I think we, in our career, have always found ourselves in positions where we are muttering to each other in meetings saying, God, I wish leadership would let us do this, or that's, I don't agree with that. And so there was, you know, day one, it was, let's bring all these ideas to the surface. You know, it's, I created a very flat organization literally overnight and said, you know, good ideas. It doesn't matter if you're the executive assistant or if you're director of SEO, they come from everywhere. And so we need to create new channels of sharing this information because of just the way things were previous to that. And culture shifts are hard, but I am very, very grateful and blessed that our team just hit the ground running day one. And we haven't really looked back since then. I mean, you know, when I acquired the agency, we were at a healthy prune size of what I would say of 19. And now we're at 48. And in the last couple of years, we've seen some pretty tremendous growth. And even in this past year, as you would probably be surprised to hear, probably not, digital marketing is very important, especially in a pandemic when people are working remotely and can't go anywhere.
Yep.
So we found ourselves in a position. Certainly noticed that the clients that had digital as a part of the stack when it came to marketing were better prepared, better, you know, I guess they had an easier time navigating these shifts in consumer behavior than the ones that were just trying to play catch up. So for that, we are sincerely grateful for this opportunity that we find ourselves in, but also know that, you know, if you fall asleep at the wheel, those Google gods will just switch everything up on you at the next turn.
I want to ask you specifically about those Google gods and what they're up to in just a minute, but tell me a little bit more about that growth. You've grown a lot in the past couple of years, specifically in the franchise space. Tell us why you really are focused on franchising and why local marketing?
Yeah, franchise is great. You know, it was a world that I was somewhat aware of prior to my time here at 1UP Web. And 1UP Web has a long history of being heavily engaged with IFA and and would speak at convention and was a pretty big sponsor. But as there was a shift in culture and thinking, and that went away. But our footprint and our foothold was still there. And really it was with brands like SBI, which is, Service Brands International, which was acquired by Dwyer, which is now Neighborly, but Service mm-hmm. Brands International was Molly Maid, Mr. Handyman, Protect Painters, and the work that we've done with them. And really, I guess, just to answer the question as far as franchise, you go to convention and you get a sense of the people that work in the industry, and you realize that at the end of the day, what you're doing is helping small business. It's people living out the American dream. And we as vendors, as partners, and then on the franchisor side of things, we are enabling that environment. And when you get a sense of that and you figure that out, when you're finally there, and you get a sense of the community that exists, you realize that it's unlike any other industry that you've ever been involved in. And mm-hmm. and that's something that feels really, really good about the work that we do. And, because marketing and especially in today's climate is just not easy to do. There's a lot of stress involved, a lot of competition, a lot of commoditization, a lot of offshoring. And then there's just overall just the lack of understanding where you could look at 10 different people can look at the same thing and call it 10 different things. Right. And so yeah. It's certainly been, for me, something that given who we are as an organization, given our culture, given our value structure, we feel like franchise marketing is or franchise, the industry itself is a tremendous place for us to be. And it's certainly evident by, the work that we've done in the last few years. Like I said, with SBI transitioning to Dwyer, then transitioning to Neighborly, that was a really tremendous opportunity that we were presented with, and we were able to rise to the occasion and meet the challenge of a really, really fast-paced environment.
Yeah.
With that Neighborly acquisition, as you probably know. And it's been a tremendous opportunity for us, very challenging, but we've been able to develop new process, new ways of working, new product in a very, very rapid way, to meet the needs of our, growing franchise clients. And like most things, you start, you plant your flag in one area, and then before you know it, you start just developing out. And we work with a tremendous amount of franchisor clients right now. And, ARTERS, the Huntington Company, the Alamo Draft House, and varieties of different capacities, not only on the consumer side, but also on the franchise development side as well.
One of the ways that I've really enjoyed watching how you're working with some of these brands is through this franchise marketing playbook that you guys put out a while back. It's right up my alley as far as one of the geekiest things that I wanted to find and read over the past couple of weeks. Tell me about how this playbook was developed and really who's it for and who should take a look at this.
Thank you for that. It's the franchise marketing playbook is something that we developed. It's a really juicy piece of content, for franchisors, really. But franchisees find their way to it. It's not a bad read for them, but it really helps franchisors work with franchisees in their marketing, like local listings, reviews, corporate website management. It's a really nuanced industry, franchise, right? You have corporate franchise or brand, and then you have the fiefdom, which are the owners, right? And within them, you have different what I would consider tribes within that. And it's a very nuanced, heavily regulated industry, one that really relies heavily on technology. So what this is, you wake up one day and realize that you've developed process and really a playbook without, we never set out to do this, right? And so we just realized that we had all this thinking, from the work that we had done with clients, real world application, real world learning, right? There's a lot of failure behind some of the learnings that we have in this playbook. And for that, I would certainly advise franchisors to pick that up, because, you know, you could save yourself a lot of heartache by just, you know, pivoting this way instead of that way, which in tech can be very expensive. So it's just written for the mind of the franchisor to really just remember, you know, the franchisee, you know, realize that you can only do as much as they allow you to, even much to our dismay sometimes, where we just wish that we can move things a little bit, that you know, you have a lot of masters that you serve in this context. So
yeah, if anybody wants to get a copy of that, they can go to this address. It's oneupweb.com/franchise, and anybody can download it for free. I've been talking about it here on the show for a while. It's a really great resource. Everybody go check that out. Fernando, I want to jump into just what in the heck is going on with Google this year, with all of the changes in everybody's business, all of the changes due to the pandemic. What are you guys seeing, and what is Google telling you that everybody needs to know about for the rest of this year and into next year?
You know, that's a big question, but I will just, you know, try to give us my best answer, and hope that my colleagues back at the office give me a thumbs up, although they'll never tell me that I messed this up. You know, they'll just be like, oh, you did great, man.
They're listening right now, but, so you better get it right for now.
I know. There's so much pressure. But, you know, for me, there are two things that we just have come to realization. I guess there's one big update, right? You cannot ignore next year. Page experience is going to be a big, big, big ranking factor in search. And what we mean by that, it's the pseudo, you know, design content development, and it should come as no surprise to everyone listening to this. You know, you cannot be a channel expert anymore. Right? You have got to work across silos, across channels. How does SEO impact SEM? How does SEM then succeed with a better development and better user experience, you know, at least a platform that has that in mind? And you realize that as a consumer, it's not like we're like, oh yeah, I'm just going to do this, you know, traditional consumer jersey. I'm just going to look something up and then just convert on an SEO path. No, like our journey takes a variety of twists and turns, and the ability of the brand to keep that in mind and provide the best experience, regardless of time and place, are the brands that are going to win. And Google recognizes that. In fact, they're even rewarding that, right? And so, and at the end of the day, for, you know, to all of you that are listening, you have to remember that you could just break this down very simply. Google is an information management company. They manage data. The better that you can make it for them to manage that data, the better that you're going to get rewarded, right? And so, keep that in mind, and use, you know, the guidelines that they set out, and just ultimately realize that you're, you know, they say there's a balance, right? There's Google and there's a consumer. But we all know that you have to keep those both in mind, very, very present when you're designing experiences for them. So just the consolidation of the journey across multiple channels is something that we are seeing. And more importantly, how they influence one another. And so, again, page experience for us, really, really big. We are in the throes of developing new tools that we're going to have in beta here in the next couple of weeks in preparation for this big change next year. And really, it comes down to developing process, right? It's how do you come up with a schema and a mechanism to be able to report out on something that's going to be so encompassing of so many different tactics? And that can mean something different for every brand out there, right? Because it's not a one-size-fits-all approach, which makes it very difficult. And because technology is something that, you know, there's different ways of going about this one thing. And because of that, you have to make sure that you're taking a very, very consultative approach to these things. So, yeah, page experience, man, it's huge. User experience, content, you know, making sure that you're connecting with your audiences and speaking their language. And then also making sure that you're speaking to Google and developing these things in a way that, that are super fast. Because, you know, they, you know, people want that information now. And so things like AMP, and using that AMP framework when you're developing experiences, they're very, very important.
You know what I love about all of that is that this isn't just gaming some system like some people who we may both know have been trying to do for many years. You're talking about making a great experience for your customer, connecting with your customer. That's what Google wants you to do. And oh, by the way, that's just good business. So I think this is all moving in the right direction. And I'm glad you guys are so in deep with Google and can help provide some franchisors out there some navigation as the world keeps changing.
I think, Jack, another thing that franchisors, when we talk about trends and things that we can better do as marketers, it's and this goes back to my experience in television and in Hollywood, we cannot overlook the power of storytelling. There are endless amounts of stories that exist, and I don't know what it is, and maybe there's a secret way of working that I'm just not privy to in franchise, but I think that we could do a better job to leverage the stories that our franchisees provide us. There is no shortage of drama that's happening, especially in the age of COVID, but within that, there's no shortage of hope. And that's really what I think is a missed opportunity by brands, because the moment that you connect with the franchisee and you get a sense of their origin story and a lot of the challenges that they had to navigate to get to where they are today, and how the brand has helped them, how technology has helped them. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that people can relate to. And I think that there's just a missed opportunity in storytelling right now because you know, you can sit there and optimize, you know, your digital marketing efforts to make sure that you're always converting on lead traffic and opportunity out there. But you know, there's a difference between lead generation and demand generation. And the demand part is by telling that story.
Fernando, before we go, are there any other trends out there that you're talking to all of your customers about these days, maybe some things that they need to be aware of for the rest of 2020 and into 2021, or maybe other opportunities that they should be jumping on? Anything come to mind there?
You know, Jackie, I'm glad that you asked me that question, because I will be honest, and this is not in particular to any of our clients. There's no one in mind when I'm saying what I'm about to say. The things that we keep seeing at OneUpWeb are things like just the simple things. And really what I mean by that is it's an organization, a client, a franchisor, you know, what have you, their ability to be able to create process internally to fully understand what is happening when it comes to marketing. And that is not more complicated than starting with a consumer at the center. We hear about patient wellness homes and patient centered medical wellness approaches. Like replace patient with customer and then just going through that process, touch point here, connects to there. And what do we do on the sell side to create a feedback loop with marketing? How do we then as marketers support that conversation? And then, you know, as you start to ladder up, like what are the metrics that really matter, right? Beyond on-page metrics, beyond conversions, beyond the lead, right? It's developing process internally to properly track everything that's happening. I mean, it just blows our mind how long it takes sometimes, clients of ours to just figure out who has the credentials for a Google account. these are simple things, I know, but you know, you have to understand when you work in large corporate organizations, you know, the simple things sometimes just take forever. And those little simple things, man, it's they can really put a detriment on performance, you know, especially when you're trying to report out on a single source of truth as far as what is actually happening. So it's really a culture shift. It's understanding that as Google is also breaking down these barriers to think about this consumer journey in a more, you know, holistic way, that you also internally have to develop a new process. It can't just be the same corporate structure. It's really understanding how these people work and how you can enable that change so that you can get the best out of the investment.
Great advice, Fernando. We're going to be back in just a moment with some contact information in case people have more questions for you. But before we go, a quick note, Social Geek Radio is a proud supporter of the International Franchise Association's VetFran program. For nearly 30 years, VetFran has been the bridge between the franchise and veteran communities, educating veterans about entrepreneurship, encouraging franchisors to commit to veterans, and advocating for veteran franchisees. The program has nearly 600 corporate members and operates a national network of veteran franchisees supported by public and private sector partners. Learn more about VetFran at vetfran.org. Fernando, thanks so much for being here. If some of our listeners have additional questions, maybe Google focused or maybe some other marketing areas that they could use a little advice on, where can they reach out to you?
You know, the best way to reach out to me is just directly through email, and that's fmeza@oneupweb, fmeza@oneupweb. Or you can always just go to our website and you know, submit, just fill out that contact form, and then it'll just come directly to me. Of course, you do that after you signed up to our newsletter, which is our, you know, weekly digest, which is a tremendous resource. You know, our engagement metrics on that thing are really high, and it's a testament to the content that the team curates, both in our internal marketing and then from our project teams as well. So
yeah, that's a really solid read once a week that I get with a lot of updates that I don't have to go to a lot of websites anymore. I can just read your newsletter.
I definitely appreciate that. Thank you, Jack. It certainly means a lot.
Excellent. And thank you for being here. And we will chat with you down the road.
Thank you so much, Jack. It's been a pleasure connecting with you.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio. We're here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. Copyright 2020 Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.